Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
1 Samuel chapter 10, and we shall read from verse 24 to 27. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people?" So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And valiant men went with him, whose heart God has touched. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no present. But he held his peace. May the Lord add his illumination and anointing and blessing to the reading of his divine word. Amen. My subject is entitled, "The King is Coming. The King is Coming." And actually what we just went through reading is an introduction to what I really want to talk about in the book, in chapter 11. Of 1 Samuel. So we read 1 Samuel chapter 10 as an introduction to 1 Samuel chapter 11. And if you go way back to 1 Samuel chapter 9, you get to understand some few things about Saul, the first king of Israel. Now, most of the time, what we hear about Saul are negative things. Saul did not obey God. Saul refused to fight in the battle as a king. And Saul was always disturbing David and all that. And if you go to the beginning of Saul, you understand that Saul was a very great person. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible gives us the background to Saul. And it says that he is the son of a very wealthy man who was in Benjamin. He was a mighty man of wealth, the Bible says, of power. That's the first thing we learn about Saul, that his background was good. Although he belonged to Benjamin, that was the smallest in terms of number of the tribes of Israel. And he himself said that his father's house or his family people, his line, was the least in Benjamin at that time. But we know that his father was very wealthy. And in verse 2, the Bible makes us to know that Saul was a very handsome man. In fact, the Bible says that there was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. So if you take the Israelites, every one of them, Saul was the most handsome man among them. I believe somehow that is how come maybe Samuel got confused that God chooses maybe the most handsome person to be the king. So when it reached David's turn, he was looking for somebody who looked like Saul. But he missed it. He said, no. That was just coincidence. It's just that he's beautiful and then I chose him. But I don't choose because of handsomeness or beauty. So that is another thing we learn about Saul. That one of the most admirable things, this one was even bestowed by nature. Or maybe just by heritage, he was born to a man called Kish, who was a wealthy man. But one of the things I most admire about Saul, and I believe that God looked upon Saul to choose him, was his humility. He was a very humble person. In spite of his credentials that he came from a rich home and that he was the most handsome in Israel, he was a very humble person. The Bible makes us to know that there was a desire in the heart of Saul all along, but he never told anybody about it, about his ambition. He was just quiet about it. In the same chapter 9 and then verse 19, he meets Samuel, and then Samuel tells him that, look, the donkeys that you came around looking for, don't worry, they have been found. Now stay with me for about 2 days and I will tell you what is in your heart. So what was in the heart of Saul was the fact that God was preparing him to be the first king of Israel. And one of the things that I believe God looked upon to choose Saul was this humility thing, because the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. So Saul was a very humble man. In fact, when he met Samuel and he told his uncle that, look, I went to Samuel, and the uncle asked him, what did the prophet say? Saul only told his uncle about the fact that the prophet said that the sheep has been found, or the donkeys have been found. But the matter of the kingdom that Samuel told Saul about, he never mentioned it to anybody. That, look, I had a wonderful experience when I met the prophet, and he said, he never mentioned it. What a humble man. Never mentioned it. In fact, when he was returning from Samuel, and Samuel had prophesied about 3 signs and said that when you meet a band of prophets, and then the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you prophesy along with them. And he had that wonderful experience that everybody who saw him was talking about, is Saul also among the prophets. He never mentioned the fact that the Holy Spirit had come upon him. And that was a mighty mega thing in the Old Testament. Because the Holy Spirit was not that available. If he has come upon you, it is breaking news. It is news that your people must hear. Saul, one more time, he goes down, humbles himself. So at the time that he is chosen as the king of Israel, the Bible makes us to know that they were looking for Saul, but they couldn't find this handsome man. Everybody would think that he would like the publicity. He would like that everybody recognizes him as the anointed and the leader, and he is good and all that. But when the tribe of Benjamin was picked and the family of Saul was picked, and then Saul was picked, handpicked by God to be the first king of Israel, they were looking for him, but they couldn't find him among the people. He was at large. So, as a secondary school English. So, the people asked God, God, are you very sure about what you are saying? Is Saul really the king? Because they asked around, they couldn't find Saul. So, they inquired of God, God, you say you've chosen somebody called Saul. Where is he? Is he around? And God said that, yes, he's around. He is in hiding. He is hidden among the equipment. Can you imagine a very handsome man? Met the prophet, anointed from a wealthy family, and he is hiding among the equipment, goods, at a place that you won't find human beings. So God showed his hiding place, and they went to bring him. And then in chapter 10, verse 23, it says, so they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. And then our text came in where Samuel tells the people that this is the man that the Lord has chosen. And then the people shouted, long live the king. That was a wonderful thing. I wonder how his face was. Because he wanted to do everything to avoid this thing. He never spoke about that desire. He never whispered it to anybody. And now they bring him all of a sudden and they say, long live the king, long live the king, long live the king. I don't know. But then Samuel also told the people, the gathering, this was a wonderful coronation. I mean, instrument of kingship. First time in Israel. And so Samuel had to tell the people the behavior of royalty, how kings do. Because kings are always taught the normal things of life. And verse 26 says in our text that Saul also went home. Samuel dismissed everybody. Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But look at verse 27. But some rebels said, how can this man save us? There are always people like that who doubt that oil has even touched your head. They looked at someone and they say that he is not a king. He is an ordinary person. Perhaps they knew the background of Saul. They knew how sometimes he was a little bad and naughty and all that. So they said, how can this man save us? And they despised him, the Bible says, and brought him no presents. But look at the humility of this handsome, anointed, young, humble young man. The Bible says, but he held his peace. In other words, he never said to the valiant men around him that, look, these people, take care of them, organize them. He never did that. The Bible says that he just kept quiet. He held his peace. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man of God. He has such a calling upon his life. The Bible says before even Saul met Samuel, God had spoken to Samuel and told him that the next day I am going to send you a certain young man from Benjamin. And you are going to anoint him to be the commander or the ruler over my people. And he said to Samuel that he shall deliver my people from the hands of the Philistines, because I have heard the cries of my people. It has reached my ears, and that is my solution in the person of Saul. He has such a wonderful calling over his life. But he was such a humble man of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that sometimes we ourselves, we behave like these rebels in Israel who said, can Saul save us? What can this gentleman do for us? Sometimes we ask ourselves, what can Jesus do for us? I interact with people, and with my little interaction, I realize that children of God, sometimes church leaders, there are certain things that they believe that God cannot help in those matters. They believe God cannot help or Jesus cannot save in those things. So they take that aspect of their lives into their own hands, and they say that this one is not a God thing. This one, pastor, is not a Bible thing. There have been people that I literally try to even debate with them and to make them to know that, look, the word of God is the solution to every one of our day-by-day daily problems. Not the spiritual things, but your day-by-day, like daily food, daily clothing, your future, whatever thing. I try to convince them that the word of God, or Jesus that we have taken, is the solution. But when it comes to certain aspects of their lives, like businesses, those people that enter business people, they think that no, when it comes to business, there is a certain wisdom that is not taught in the Bible. It's not there at all. And if you follow this Bible, you will not be saved. Can Jesus, our King, save us? What can he do for us? Perhaps we also think like those people. We think that the best Jesus can do for you is to anoint you so that you can teach or preach or lead worship or maybe lead praises. He can anoint you to sing, and he can anoint you to do outreach, spiritual things alone. But I want you to know that the Lord Jesus is the solution. Our having a king, our installing a king over us is the solution to the kind of dominance that we need to have in life. When you have a king over you, then you are ready to dominate. When you have a king over your finances, then you are ready to reign and dominate in that area. When you have a king over your marriage, then you are ready to dominate in that area. That is what the word kingdom is about. It's a king that by an introduction of a king into your life and to be the Lord and the king of your life, you can then have dominion, or you can dominate. You can be in charge. You will not be under. Israel desperately wanted a king, because when they saw the nations around, they saw that when they listen to their king, oh, they are able to dominate. So God, do something about us. Hallelujah.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
I want us to understand that our King, the Lord Jesus, when we put Him on the throne of every aspect of our lives, we are able to dominate everywhere. He is the one who can save us. My message to you this morning is that our King is coming. He is coming into your life. He wants you to enthrone Him as a king and not to behave like these rebels who said that, what can He do? He is not a king. He can be around, but He cannot save us, and I cannot trust this man. He is an ordinary person. When it comes to the practical realities of my life, whether it's in my business or it's in my finances or it's in my future and everything, I have to take it into my hands, so to speak. My king cannot do anything about it. The word of God cannot do anything about it. I talk to people, Christians or business people, and they give the impression that, look, when it comes to these things, we don't even need pastors. We don't need the word of God. We don't need counsel about our businesses, because the pastor doesn't understand the terrain. The pastor doesn't understand how to do business. Jesus was not a businessman, so to speak. How can He help me? How can He help me in my business? How can He help me in my marriage? There are people who even have a very funny wisdom. They say things like, look, the times have changed, Pastor. The times have changed. Those days that Jesus was around and He was helping the people, now the world is a complex world. It's a very sophisticated thing. And the Bible, you have to be very cautious about the Bible, because if you don't take care, that king is going to mess up your family. He's going to mess up your life. He's going to mess up your family. He's going to mess up your business. But I came to tell us, ladies and gentlemen, that our king is coming. Our king is not literally coming in the skies of heaven, oh, to rapture His church away. But before He comes like that, He wants to come into our lives. And He wants to reign as kings. As a king is in our life. The Bible says in chapter 11 that after Saul had held his peace and he said, okay, no problem. If you think I can't help you, pastor shouldn't come there, counsel shouldn't come there, the word shouldn't come there. I don't need to read it in the morning, because business is business. I will hold my peace. The Bible says that Nahash, the Ammonite, chapter 11, verse 1 now, came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. Gilead, or Jabesh Gilead, was a section of Israel. It was part of Israel. They were Jews or Israelites, but they were in a certain section. All right. And the Bible says that there was this heathen king, Nahash, Ammonite, who came and then encircled around them. And the people saw that the strength of the Ammonite king, Nahash, was too strong for them. So they didn't even fight. When I read the scripture, you see, it's very interesting. They didn't even try to fight. They saw that what had come up against us is too strong for us. And so they said that, look, you come, king, come. Make a covenant with us. We will serve you. We will serve you. We will go under you. I want us to understand that many times in our lives, we have the enemy surrounding aspects of our lives. And the devil will not surround an aspect of your life that you are strong in, because he knows that's your strong point. If he wants to defeat you, if the Ammonites, they want to defeat Israel, they won't go to the strong places. They will go to Jabesh Gilead, where the people are so weak that they will just surrender without fight and say that we will want to serve you, make a covenant with us. The devil will never fight you or tempt you with areas that you are even strong. He knows your weaknesses through familiar spirits. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strength. He knows that if I just encircle this guy and threaten him in this aspect of his life where he is weakened, then I can be able to overcome him and destroy him. And so the devil will always try and hit at your weak point. He will so hit at your weak point that anytime you see that temptation coming and you see that circumstance coming, maybe it is something that comes every year. It is something that comes every month. When you see it coming into your life, you dread that period. When the schools are reopening, you dread that period. When maybe certain things will be said, you dread particular periods in your life, because they are weak periods. They are periods that the devil can bring you on your knees and you can compromise and do anything that is unrighteous and that is bad altogether, because you are weak in that area. I want you to know that that is the area that God says that I am coming as a king, and I will not leave you in your weaknesses. I will come to you and I'm going to strengthen you in your weakness. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to leave you there like that, because you belong to me. Your strong points are mine and your weak points are mine. The devil may try to come against your weak point, but I will not leave you in the time of your weakness. I will not leave you in the time of your vulnerability. I will come to you. I will help you. I don't know what weak area there is in your life that you look at your life and you feel threatened. You feel uncertainty. There are some of us, if you look at your spiritual life, you become uncomfortable sometimes even when you are coming to church, because you know that you have not lived well. You are weak in that area. And every time the devil force you when it comes to prayer, and he force you when it comes to the word of God, he force you when it comes to standing for the Lord and proclaiming the word of the Lord. That is your weak area. Some of us, our weak area is not spiritual. The devil, in fact, even when we are sick, we are praying on the top of our voices. But maybe it's in your finances. That is a very uncomfortable area, very vulnerable. It's a place that the devil can easily get you and just hush you, make you like a child. When it comes to your finances, I want you to know that to you, the king is coming, and he is coming to help you in your weak area. Oh, when I look on this earth, I believe that Africa has got strength, and I believe that we have got weaknesses also. There are certain weaknesses that we are able to parade and we are slapping ourselves by all the time. The word of God for Africa is that God is coming and he's going to strengthen us in that area of our lives that we feel vulnerable and that we feel weak, and that we say that this one is a place that the devil gets us. When it comes to spiritual things, perhaps you come to church even when we have not eaten. But when it comes to certain areas, the devil can easily floor us. We become like children when it reaches those aspects of life. When they are talking, we cannot talk some. We become children. We don't have anything in our heads to contribute. Our king is coming, Africa. Our king is coming into our life. And his target is that those areas that Nahash, the Ammonite, has come to encircle. I am coming. I am coming to do something about it. Look at verse 2. And Nahash the Ammonite answered and said, on this condition, I will make a covenant with you that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach upon all Israel. He goes to a section of Israel and he says, look, I am coming for you people. The people say, we beg, we know we can't stand. Every time you floor us, this place, we are weak, we are not strong. In fact, we surrender to you, make a covenant with us. He says, I'll make a covenant with you under one condition. Condition for the covenant before the servitude is that I will take all of you and put out your right eyes. And he says that the reason I want to do this is that I want to shame the whole of Israel. With that little section, Jabesh Gilead, that weak section, I want to bring shame into your life. Some of us, the areas where we feel afraid, where we are weak, it's in our marriages. When it comes there, it is as if the devil wants to embarrass us. He wants to shame us. I am talking to you about the areas of your life that you have fears about, that you have uncertainties about, that you have shame about, that you feel embarrassed about. The devil's target is that although you may be strong spiritually, I am going to so embarrass you people that you will put aside your spiritual strength. I know that when I come to this area, I will not get you, but I will get you with your family life. I will get you with your marriage. I will get you in the area that you are not successful, that you are not able to break through. I will get you with your finances. I reduce you to nothing. And the reason I want to do that is because I want to bring shame to the whole of Israel. Our king is coming, and he is coming to that area of our life that we have suffered embarrassment for a long time, that we feel weak in. I want you to know our king is coming. And he says that no more are we going to be ashamed and embarrassed anymore. I want to speak this word prophetically to the church of the living God. We may be strong in some areas, we may be weak in some areas, and we think that those weak areas have been with us generationally. It has been like that all the time. I have news for you that those weak areas, our king, before he literally appears in the sky to rapture the church away, he is coming as a king to rescue us from our embarrassment, to rescue us from our uncertainties and our fears. Your future is going to be sure to you. You will not have uncertainty about your financial future and how you will take care of yourself when you are old. You will not have any uncertainty anymore, because the Lord, our King, is coming, and he is coming to strengthen our weak areas. The Bible says that in verse 3 that the elders of Jabesh said to him, to Nahash the Ammonite, hold off for 7 days that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you. They only pleaded for time. Some of us, all that we do is that we plead for time. It's as if there is something that we know inevitably, without avoidance, that thing will come to us. When we look into our lives, we have uncertainty about it. We only pray that, Lord, may it delay. But in the future, we know that there is something that can embarrass us in future if we don't take care. That can bring shame to us in future if we don't take care. There is an aspect of our lives, the way it is coming and the way it is going, we see sometimes in our heart, it's a matter of time. Our marriage is going to rock in such a way that is going to affect, it's going to come public and everybody is going to see it. Certain aspects of our life is going to come to the limelight. We only hope and we only ask the devil that, Satan, I know that I am not strong in this area. I know that I'm going to fall in this area, but just give me time. Just give us 7 days. Let us not postpone our uncertainties into the future. Let us bring our king into the matter. We can be very certain of our tomorrow. Some people look on Africa and they say that Africa is a hopeless continent. There is no future for us. And we only hope that, Lord, may it not happen in my day. May I see peace as long as I am in Ghana. But when I die, then confusion can settle. May I see all prosperity and be able to eat as long as me and my children we are around. But in the future generation, you can visit anything you like on this continent. Because we know that we are weak and we cannot stand. We know there is no future for us. I came with the word of the Lord for everyone such people. That God is not going to leave you like this. He's not going to leave you in this condition that you find yourself in. He is responsible for you because he is a king over the whole of Israel. And when you seat him upon the throne of this continent, upon the throne of your life, he takes charge over everywhere, over your strong areas, over your weak areas. The king is coming with strength and with power, even to strengthen you that you will not suffer shame and embarrassment.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.